Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, hello. Episode 251 of your Scope podcast. Your Scope pod. Some places like to call it the pod.
Some places call it the cast.
Or the cast.
I don't like either one of those.
Friend of the pod. Neither of them feel quite organic and natural, do they? No. It seems forced.
Just say show, I think.
The show.
Show.
Welcome to the show, because that's what this is.
Podcast was always a little weird just because it was so tied to the iPod.
Yeah.
But I think we've kind of gotten past that now, and it just sort of...
Pod is not a
know what it means.
Yeah, it's...
It's not a broadcast. It's a podcast. See? It works. Just that easy.
Jared's convinced me. So I am Shane. You've heard Jared. You can see Jared. You can see Adam. We are here. Episode 251. History continues in our 10th year, Jared.
Yeah.
It's very, very exciting.
We're just about closing out our 10th year.
It isn't insane that we've done this long.
Come April, year 11.
Year 11. What will it hold for us, Adam?
This one goes
more
to
of the same. Probably.
This one goes to 11.
Probably more of the same. You said it. Well, guess what? We have got a great show. It's a classic, Jared.
Yeah?
We're doing a nerd round table. Wait,
you're already calling this one a classic?
It's a classic bit. I'm not saying the content itself will be classic, because that is to be determined.
Instant TBD.
Classic. TBD.
It has the potential to be an instant classic.
Yeah, and that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, me too.
It's very, very exciting.
Every show I hope for that.
And how often do we reach that lofty plateau?
4 or 5%.
I like it.
It's exciting. And a good thing the world is still here. Politics has not destroyed us. But, you know, we'll find out if that continues in the show as well. So very, very good times. I got some good topics to talk about. So instead of me just rambling on here, Jared, let's just kick this off. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back with episode 251. Of The Scope and Nerd Roundtable right after this.
Oh, I'm on the wrong tab. Hey, folks, you want to support the show? Consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/theScopeShow. You can pledge as little as $1 per episode. You can set a monthly cap, and you can cancel anytime. Patreon helps you support creators directly, and your support means we can continue to make this show for you. Visit patreon.com/theScopeShow for more information.
Everybody, welcome back to episode 251 of The Scope, Nerd Roundtable in the house, the patriotic version of the Nerd Roundtable.
Is it?
Well, that music makes me want to stand up and salute the flag. The United States of The Scope.
Wow. I didn't realize we had states.
We do. We're expanding, Jared.
That's good.
We're expanding.
It's good to know.
I've got some pop culture. I've got some political topics to cover. Let's start with topic numero uno, number one. I'm going to talk about FX's new show, Legion. I don't know if you're watching it, Adam, but this is... Jared and I will be talking about FX's new show, Legion.
About to finish by the time this episode airs.
Yeah, I am...
It's only 8 episodes.
I'm a little bit behind, but by a little bit, just one episode. But given
Did you watch the 4th episode?
Given our weird timeline, which one was that?
When Jemaine Clement showed up?
Yes. Yes, I did watch that one. So
just bizarre. Crazy. Yeah. In a good way.
So, Adam, if you did not know, Legion is actually the first Marvel X-Men television show. So you've got, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you've got Daredevil. They take place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yep.
Legion takes place in the X-Men Marvel Cinematic Universe. So
does it?
Yeah, that's the question.
I mean,
how does
on
it?
Paper,
I don't know.
It does. Go ahead.
The pedigree of this show is intriguing because it is done by the guy that did Fargo, which is one of the best shows on television, argue.
It's fine.
No, it's better than fine.
It's fine.
It's foine.
It's a great show.
And this show is not like any other superhero show we have ever seen in the history of superhero television, Jared. Can you agree with that comment?
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the core concept of this show.
Please do.
So
help me out.
So it follows, I can't even remember the main character's
Jubilee.
Name.
David.
David, who is this...
Played by Dan Stevens, formerly of Downton Abbey.
And he is... Is he British?
Yes.
And but he's
playing, got that British-American accent that isn't quite an American accent.
That lilt.
That gravelly, like, I can't do it because I'm American, but...
It's strange.
If you can consider Benedict Cumberbatch in Doctor Strange or Hugh Laurie on House.
Yeah. It's like, it's American, but
it's,
we don't...
It's
you don't
American
know,
accent by a British guy, and it just doesn't sound right.
You don't know anyone that talks like that in America. But, so it takes place in the 70s, which is around the same time period as X-Men, whichever one.
First Class.
No, that was 60s. 70s
was... Days of Future Past.
Yes.
Days of Future Past.
Correct.
Yes. And it follows David, who is apparently a super crazy dude, but he also seems to have... super crazy powerful brain powers, mutant powers.
Yeah.
And
he's telepathic. He's telekinetic.
He
might be able to warp reality.
He can do it all.
He can do it all. This guy is super powerful.
Yep.
And two different factions are after him. It seems to be a bad faction.
Yes.
And then
are they like Division 3 or something like that?
Yes.
I think that's the name of them.
And then a good faction, which they're called...
The people in the woods. I don't remember.
So it's almost like...
Their headquarters is out in the woods. I don't really remember what their group name is.
It's almost like Professor X, essentially, like the school for gifted children.
Yeah.
But but there's no Professor X. It's
so like more of a camp for gifted
kids.
Yes,
it's led by, what's her name, Jean Smart, who also played a terrific character in the second season of Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
And... For those of you that don't know, David, this character, is based on a superhero from the Marvel Comics called Legion, this is not like spoiler territory, he is the son of Professor Xavier. And in the comic, he is super crazy and he warps reality and he's out of control. You have a little bit of that in this show, but it's not quite as, he's not quite as evil and it's not...
Not yet anyway.
Yeah.
He's sort of just... Yeah, when we first see him, he's in a mental institution, and he's not, I don't know how to say it. He's not good, but he's not evil either.
We don't know if in this TV show he will be Xavier's son or not.
Yeah.
I mean, he could just be a super powerful mutant that may or may not be connected to the X-Men. But my question to you, Jared, is this.
Yes.
Does not this, it's what it would be, the slavish... desire to stay within this X-Men continuity, does this not hamper the show? Like, why do we even have to have that X-Men cinematic universe anymore? Because this show could just sort of exist in its own plane. It doesn't need to be connected to it, and we'd be perfectly fine with it, like if it were an Arrow or if it were a Flash or a Supergirl that isn't tied into the DC cinematic universe.
Well, so far it hasn't been an impediment because there hasn't been any connection, as far as I've seen, to the larger X-Men cinematic world.
But at some point, they're going to have to tie into it.
Well, yeah. And there's other shows coming, too.
Yeah.
But the fact that universe plays with time so much, I think they can have shows that are ostensibly in that universe that never really interact with anything else because they take place in a different time period.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting show because it does... They chose specifically to be a period show taking place in the 70s. But it's strange because... There's technology in the 70s, like they were at like a travel agency or something in one episode, and they were on like iPads or something. I mean, but at the same time, they'll have stereo equipment that is clearly of the 70s.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what's going on, and because this is a story of a super powerful brain mutant, you don't really know what is real and what is not real,
right?
And everything could be fake. Everything could be real, for all we know.
And there's a lot of times where they do play with that.
They're playing with you.
They are. And
they do have the astral plane, though.
Yes. A la Doctor Strange.
But not the same.
It is not the same. And the first episode was so terrific, that pilot, Jared.
Yeah.
How it was filmed and very trippy and unlike anything you've ever seen. And then the next couple episodes were a bit more standard. And then the fourth episode was even weirder.
And you haven't watched the fifth one yet?
But I have not.
I watched it. It's good.
Okay.
It just...
I'm hoping to get to that tonight.
Yeah.
So, Jared, is this... Adam's adding it to his list. Is this a worthy show, and... Is this the best superhero show of all time that you've seen so far?
Oh, I don't know if it's the best superhero show of all time. I mean, it's just, I think it's a very good show. And I think you can enjoy the show. If you like Fargo, number one, you're going to like the show.
Well, it's not, that show's fine.
it's a non-linear show. It's a show you got to pay attention to.
Challenging.
You're going to lose details. Yeah, and it's not everything is spelled out for you. This isn't a casual watch at all.
Yeah.
So if you're not into that type of television, forget it.
It drives
not for you.
Drives me crazy when I'm sitting on the couch, sitting next to my wife. She's tapping through her iPad, not paying any attention.
Yeah.
And then I get like an indifferent response to her on the show. Like if you just pay attention, you might not.
Does she like Fargo?
She loves Fargo.
Why she would like this?
Yeah.
If you can just, I mean, don't let the superhero part like scare you, because it's not necessarily a huge part of it. It's more psychological, honestly.
I mean,
although there is some cool, like there's the whole Carrie Laudermick character where it's two people inhabiting the same body, but
sure,
they can split apart, is just, I mean, you really get to see like that in action in the fourth episode.
And you have another character who I can't remember the actress's name. She's from Minnesota, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, Rachel Keller.
She plays a character which essentially is very much like Rogue. She has
she can't touch people. But she switches bodies temporarily with them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you have these superhero things, but it's much more like a psychological story, as Jared said, with sci-fi elements. I mean, it'd be closer to a sci-fi show than it would necessarily be a superhero. No one's putting on costumes yet or anything like that.
Correct.
But I definitely think Legion is worth your time, Adam. You at least got to check it out.
Right.
Don't be so excited.
I'll record the first episode.
It's good. Do you like Jemaine Clement?
I like him in what they do in or what we do in the Shadows.
That's the only thing.
I don't really like.
You didn't like Flight of the Conchords?
I get it.
Well, I think his role.
I like
in the
how
show
he says.
Really
I like how he says Brit.
Brit.
Yeah, Brit.
Brit.
Wrote a song for you, Brit.
All right. So Legion on FX, it's on...
What We Do in the Shadows.
Wednesdays.
Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Central Time.
Sure.
Check it out. Guys, a few episodes ago, we talked about being more political on this show. So,
we did.
So I've got an
how's that working out?
I've got an alternative reality political question for you guys.
Russia hacked us now, so, and then WikiLeaks did too.
This will be a fun exercise for you too.
Or did the CIA do it?
Right.
And then pretend it was Russia Trump elected... So that they could take him down later.
It's all false flags, guys.
Makes no sense. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm going to give you a list of politicians.
Shane, did you know that almost 100% of the time, the most convoluted, crazy explanation is the actual explanation?
It's taken me a long time to get there.
Yep.
The opposite of Occam's razor?
Adam's razor.
Adam's razor.
Adam's razor. The most complicated
Adam's
answer.
Dull blade.
It just forces its way through solid matter.
Is the premiere of Legion a two-hour premiere?
It is. Oh, I know.
Was it?
Yeah, it was long.
They're all a little bit. It's FX way. Yeah. Every episode's a little bit long.
Yeah, but there's so much commercial in there, it's not much longer than a regular show.
Yeah.
Okay.
If anything. So here's an alternative reality politics question. Here's a list of politicians, boys.
Okay.
They're all boys?
Sarah Palin.
Nope.
Michelle Bachmann.
Mm.
Jason Chaffetz.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump and Ted Cruz.
Yep.
If you had to pick one to be president, who would it be?
Jesus. Okay.
And who of that list is your worst pick for president?
We got to do this again. Palin, Bachman.
Palin, Bachman. Jason from Utah.
Yep.
Jason in the House on Twitter.
Trump and Ted Cruz. If you want to list them from best to worst, feel free.
Okay. We got to talk about this before you just start listing out things, right?
Okay. So
our current president is one of these guys.
He is one of these
guys. We already have a baseline.
Let's just say he didn't win, and they came to you and they say, Adam.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I want you to pick the president and then pick the next four successors.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think Ted Cruz is probably a sociopath, and he believes all the things that he says. I don't think he's cynical. I think he's crazy. But then again, I think Bachmann is the exact same thing, just crazier. Like, her idea. Like, have you ever seen that picture of her at... She's like, there's a photo of like abortion rights march.
Okay.
And she's hiding in bushes like 40 feet away.
What?
Oh, you gotta find. You gotta look at it. She's insane.
Okay.
I think Sarah Palin's probably just dumb. I don't think she's necessarily insane. Jason Chaffetz is the most cynical person on this list, but he probably knows how to govern. So I think, I would go. Chaffetz is my number one pick.
Okay, right. I'm going to put see numbers on your list right there.
So Chaffetz is my number one, as I would like him to be president.
Okay.
Trump is two.
Wow.
Palin is three.
Okay.
Cruz is four. Bachman's five.
Okay. So read that one more time.
Jason Chaffetz, my pick for president of the United States of America.
Adam loves Jason.
Adam.
I'm writing that down. Adam, Jason's biggest supporter. Wow.
Then Donald Trump. Then Sarah Palin. Then Ted Cruz. And then Michelle Bachman. But honestly, I kind of want to, now I want to swap Cruz and Bachman. But
feel free if you.
No, we're never going to get to five.
I'll go with that.
Don't worry about it. This isn't a,
this isn't a last man on earth type of situation.
Who
knows?
Someone probably did this 5 years ago and they're like, Trump, ha, I'll put him number one.
Yeah.
Now look where we are.
Yeah.
That guy from Legion probably did it and made it happen in his reality, Jared.
Yeah.
Okay, so you heard
Adam. You guys know we're living in a simulation, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
None of this Adam is real. Says Jason Chaffetz from Utah, who will do a town hall, but then say, guess what? A lot of you guys here aren't in my district or you're paid. Or he'll say, you know, that iPod, that iPhone hubbub, which may be a little bit misconstrued, let's be honest. I mean, I get what he was trying to say, but it still comes off as a big dick move. By the way, did you know that...
this is the first time we've ever parsed politician's language and come up with a damning result. Please.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, you know, because I am in the world of, like, user interface and user accessibility...
Oh, look at me. I'm fancy.
Well, you are too, Jared. The reality is that a large percentage of people who are poor access the internet
only
on their mobile
devices.
That's
their only access.
They don't have a computer. So I guess you could say, go to the library, I suppose. But if we cut back funding on that, they may not be able to do that either way. So I think you have to be very careful on the words that you choose and the place of privilege that you come from.
Well, or if you just don't care about poor people, then say whatever you want.
And say you don't care about it, right?
Just,
if you
be honest about it. But they're not. They're cynical. No.
They're cynical, but they. But if you read between the lines, you know exactly what they're getting.
Also, like it's not a matter of choosing one or the other. We have insurance at my company. Mm-hmm. You have to pay $10,000 if you have a baby. Like it's not.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I mean, you're maxing out all of your deductibles and your out of pocket expenses, and it's $10,000 to have a kid.
There we go.
And we have insurance. So
that seems expensive.
Yeah. Well,
we didn't have to do that with.
Well, that's because you guys had the most amazing insurance, or we did when I was there too. That insurance is the toppest of the top tier.
So that is why you do not have a baby. $10,000.
Sure, yeah.
All right. Okay, Jared. We've meandered, but we've given you a lot of time to really put in some good thought on this question.
I don't know if it's good thought. That's.
When I thought of this question, I go, this is going to be a home run.
Let's change it to fuck, marry, kill.
I'm thinking the position of I'm going to pick the person who's probably going to be able to do the least amount of harm to democratic small d institutions.
Yeah.
I'm picking Sarah Palin.
Okay, tell me why.
I'm picking her because she has the least governmental experience and or the least capacity to do significant damage. Obviously Trump had no government experience going in.
Trump
has a lifetime of business experience, where he knows how to lie, he knows how to cheat, he knows how to steal, he knows how to surround himself with
sycophants
and yes men, and he's picked the worst leadership possible for his White House to just start to break apart our normal fabric of democracy. I don't feel like a Sarah Palin has that sort of capacity.
You say she's a bit more simplistic in her.
I just think she would be completely overwhelmed by the job and would be basically an ineffectual president. Wouldn't be able to get anything done.
I guess the other thing is, with all the Russia stuff in the news, she could see Russia from.
She could.
From
her
house.
Maybe knows.
Why
Russia
didn't she speak up
any?
Earlier?
Yeah.
She saw Putin riding on.
She saw all this going on.
Do you think she saw Putin on the permafrost on that horse?
Of course.
Shirtless, galloping around.
Speaking of permafrost, guys, did you watch Vice recently?
I hear it's terrible. Oof. Just the tweets on it scare me. But let's get back to
it. I'm not going to give it a rank. I'm just going to say that's everyone else is horrendous.
So who
mind.
Would be the worst of the bunch?
The worst?
Yeah, because at least you have to go there.
Honestly, Trump is the worst.
So you think no matter what.
I don't know how you can say that Trump is worse than Ted Cruz. I honestly think that Ted Cruz would
Ted Cruz systematically put people in place to destroy?
Yes, 100%.
You think
would.
So?
Yes.
All right.
That guy believes his own craziness. I don't know. Maybe Trump does too.
Would Ted Cruz go to a golfing vacation every weekend of his?
Would Ted Cruz retweet stuff from Breitbart? Probably. Maybe he wouldn't even do that. Actually, that might be a bridge too far to source Breitbart as your intel.
I think Trump is the worst, and Ted Cruz is just a hair above that.
Yeah,
that's fair.
The thing with Ted Cruz is that he has and you know, for people that support him or like him, and fine. And I'm not even I don't want to rip on religion, but
it's not fine.
There definitely is a religious aspect to Ted Cruz, and that's fine because there are a lot of politicians that have that. But I don't think it's fair when you govern by those religious principles, considering there are, you know, millions of other people, more than half the people in the country that don't have those same exact values.
For now.
I always thought that Trump, if anything, the one saving grace with Trump is that he would not sort of fall into that trap. But I feel like even though he is not, you know, a fundamentalist type of guy, that a lot of his policies and a lot of stuff that he's doing still, you know, fits into that bucket.
Shane, he said nobody loves the Bible more than him. Nobody.
Very funny.
You can't.
You can show that to the camera.
I don't think it'll actually show up.
Oh, it shows up. Look at how good that is.
You can't defend Ted Cruz and then look at this picture and then say, well, how is that possible? Why does Ted Cruz look like all of these people? What does it mean? Why does he look like that dog? Look.
Are we saying that he's part
Why does he look like the guy from Striper?
He's all those people. Something's not right.
See, at some point, that fourth corner of the video is going to be an Apple TV, and you could just AirPlay that photo.
I'll do it right now.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Well, no, there's no Apple TV. You can connect to the Apple
We've
TV.
Got to have an Apple
it's going
to
be right upstairs, and nobody's going to see it.
Oh,
so please don't.
All right.
Well, I'm glad that I could throw out a political question and offer no answers or solutions or peace
Who would
of
you
mind.
Pick?
I refuse to
Fuck
answer
you,
that question.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I...
It's a home run question, but I won't answer it.
Shane's just asking the questions.
Oh, okay.
So
thanks, Jake Tapper.
So I am sort of with Adam on the Ted Cruz. I mean, you knew me going through the political season, especially in the Republican primaries. I was on record as saying that I think Ted Cruz is the worst of the bunch, and I would pick Trump over him 100 of 100 times. Now I'm not so sure.
Right, 50 of 100.
But those guys are pretty low on the system. Or low on my ranking. I think Michelle Bachmann is certifiably nuts. And yeah. I think she is a religious fundamentalist.
Oh yes.
Totally.
In the worst way. So I would probably be...
Her husband's gay, without a doubt.
It would be a coin flip between Palin and Jason, to be honest with you. I mean, you go back...
As your number one?
Yeah. I mean, okay. with Jason, you do go back that he is a politician who has been in the system, so he understands that stuff. I mean, he's probably on the level of like a Pence. In terms of, you know, what he would do.
Maybe.
You know, I guess at least if he's screwing us, he'll do it with a smile rather than, you know, try to disassemble all of our press and all that sort of stuff. And Palin, I'm with you, Jared, in the sense that she could be very ineffectual. Again, we have found in our history, our most recent history, you can have ineffectual leaders. But if you surround yourself with people that can take advantage of that and leech off of that, God knows what could happen.
True.
So, I mean, you had that a bit with President Bush the second. You have that with Trump to a degree. Even though he's a sneaky snake, you know, he may not be quite as sneaky if he had other people around him that weren't so dastardly.
And the people around him have definitely figured out how to manipulate him, how to feed him the information they want him to see at the right time to
Correct.
Get the kind of response they want.
Correct.
Which is really terrible.
Yeah.
Guys, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I kind of regret voting for Donald Trump right now.
You lived here, so you probably didn't have much effect on it.
Okay. Thank
you. It's a very awkward situation when you sort of come out with that statement. Well, let's change it. Jared, we're going to do something we've never done and Nerd Roundtable before. We are going to have an instant crossover with Nerd Roundtable and Adam's News. What? Adam,
yeah.
Pull out that story that I said do not read, and let's dig into it right now. It's video game related.
This is the story about the photos that the police released of you, right?
Yeah, okay. I have no comments on that.
As you shouldn't. Not without talking to a lawyer.
No.
We have a new
video game
console on the market.
We do, and I've got it right here.
What?
I'm going to let you guys see it.
Did that pouch come with it, or did you just buy that after?
No, this pouch actually came...
Did that say the Vapas?
This pouch came with a 1-foot by 3-foot mouse pad that I got, like, the day before I got my...
I was going to say, it seems a little long.
Yeah, but still, it's for not having a transport, it's pretty good. So this is the Nintendo Switch.
Nice. Yep.
It's thin. It's probably heavier than you would think. But this is, I think, a good example of where I think video games are going to go, which is they have the ability of full-bodied games.
Full-bodied.
Full-bodied.
Whether you're playing on your television or you're playing on the go.
Okay.
I think that Nintendo's been working towards this for a while. We'll see if Microsoft and Sony go in this direction. But we've at least got one company that's decided to take this route.
Sure.
It came out, it was $299.
Uh-huh.
It really only has one game worth caring about right now, which
one
is Zelda.
One Switch.
Oh.
And then there also is a $20 F-Zero clone out there, which apparently is very, very good. It's a eShop game only. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm mostly concerned with Zelda.
Yes.
So why don't you give us a little more background, Adam?
Okay, well, Nintendo is not releasing North American sales numbers.
They say they're doing well.
They say it's doing well. It sounds like it is doing better than the Wii U, which is not saying anything at mm-hmm. all, and maybe not as well as the Wii, which maybe is a little concerning because they definitely underproduced the Wii. They did release some UK and Japan sales numbers, so things seem to be mirrored there. Let's see. In the UK, it sold, doubled its Wii U total, but fell short of the 3DS launch of 113,000 systems. Oh, it sold 80,000 in its opening weekend switches. So compare it with the 3DS. Sometimes it is, depending on who you listen to from Nintendo, this is the replacement for the 3DS or this is not the replacement for the 3DS. So it's kind of hard to know what they really say. They say,
what does a 3DS cost?
Well, you can't really buy the... Well, can you buy the 3DS still? Probably. You know, they have the 2DS and then the big 3DS.
Like, is it $170?
I think it's less than $200, but...
Not much less.
Right. Nintendo still says that is a platform they are producing games for.
Mm-hmm. They just don't... You can't buy the system anymore?
You can buy the system.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's very, common.
You're confusing me here.
It's just strange for... I mean, I guess it's not strange, right? There are PlayStation 3 games being... There still are PlayStation 3 games being made.
Yeah.
So is it like that, or is it Nintendo hedging? Because as unsuccessful as the Wii U was, the 3DS, after its initial start of when it first came out, has been super successful. So I don't know. I don't know what they're really going for here.
I think as long as they both sell, they continue to do both. And they,
sure.
and they have such a user base installed for the 3DS that you can make those games. And, you know, it's a huge system for kids.
Yep.
So keep doing what you're doing. And if you have crossover, as long as it doesn't affect the sales of the Switch, then you proceed as usual.
Sure. I think it can't not impact the sales of the Switch at some point. 313,000 are the number of Switches sold in Japan over the first weekend, which is slightly better than the Wii U, but almost 100,000 less than the Wii.
Well, the question is, how many systems did they release? Did they release 313,000?
Right. I mean, you have to assume it effectively sold out everywhere it is.
I have yet to see one in the stores. Accessories and games are very, very limited.
The two Walmarts closest to me have them.
Really? Yeah. I've been to a number of Targets, and I have not seen them, so... As same with like controllers and stuff are limited.
I'm sure controllers will be harder to come.
That's a whole other bug issue, by the way. The expense of controllers.
The expense
is
of
outrageous.
Everything.
Outrageous.
The standalone.
What do they charge for the extra
controller? $60 for the charging dock, right? $40 and $40 for the replace the Joy-Cons.
Yeah, you can get one for.
So 40. What do you get in the box?
You get this system.
Yeah.
With there's two. These little Joy-Con controllers on the side.
Uh-huh.
You get a dock which allows you to hook it up to your television. You get
Is that different from this charging dock thing you're talking about?
The charging dock is you can put the two Joy-Cons into a controller, which is just
That isn't $70.
The charging one?
I don't think it is.
We'll look it up as we keep going.
I don't think it's that expensive.
The separate dock, which is just a USB 3 pass through, is $90.
What?
But you get that. So if you want to have it, if you want to hook that up to another, you want to have two TVs.
Right.
That's $90 though.
The only thing that I have purchased,
Pro controller.
I got the Pro controller, which is very hard to come by.
Yep.
Because these, I mean, we can talk about some of the issues with these little Joy-Cons here.
Let's.
But the Pro controller is, you know, something you would get with Xbox or PlayStation. I think that is $70.
Yep.
I got it on Prime Now. And I had a coupon, so I got a little bit cheaper, actually. But generally speaking, $70 for a controller is ridiculous.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. The reason I got that is you have these little Joy-Cons. You can take a feel. But they're sort of small. I mean, they're cool, but they're small. Look at Adam's going at it.
This is the format you do when you're playing with your badminton team, right? And you set up the screen on a table and you each grab a little controller.
Exactly.
You have to do that from the rooftop of an apartment building.
Exactly.
You can't just
very cool.
Anywhere.
Very millennial style. And so the system also
preferably at brunch.
The system also comes with a little dock or like a controller dock that these things can latch into, so it plays more like a traditional controller, but it's kind of small.
Thing, and it's not comfortable to hold.
Yeah, so like it's fine if you are my daughter, but if you're not,
you need
something a little bit more substantial.
Yep.
That being said, it's still pretty cool. I mean, it's
sure.
It's not bad, and I have taken this to work a couple of times, just one to show...
Nerd. To show off.
Show off. And then the second time, because I was playing some Zelda the other night, and I thought of something that I wanted to do in the morning. Like, I can actually just bring the entire game in and spend 10 minutes to try to figure that out, and it is essentially the exact same experience, which that is... I think that's the key. You have this crossover experience where... Could you imagine if you could play Halo anywhere, or if you could play Battlefield anywhere?
Well, you can with a laptop.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what I mean. It's
sure.
In terms of a console's.
Have you experienced the frame rate issues with Zelda?
I have, actually. I've noticed it on my TV that it slows down. And oddly then, enough, on the TV, but on the handheld system, it does not.
Right.
It's not terrible, but you notice it.
Yeah. People are saying the Wii U has the exact same amount of frame issues.
Why
can
you not use the Wii U Pro controller with the Nintendo Switch?
No.
Why not? Because they want you to spend $70?
Because they want you to spend $70.
Lame.
Yeah,
it's like the same controls, though.
Yeah, it's bizarre how it actually operates. Now, there's some talk about, you know, the initial critical response that, oh, yes, Nintendo will probably do some redesigning on this system because there are a few things that are, like, some of these buttons that you have, like, there's a plus and minus button, which act as, like, select start type of thing. Mm-hmm. They're a little small. They're a little bit out of the way. So maybe you might get a redesign, or you might actually see these Joy-Cons a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I think playing for more than 20 minutes, my hands feel uncomfortable.
So how much have you played of this?
I've been playing it at Fantasy Flight when we've been playing X-Wing during downtime.
So how did you buy one?
No. Oh, God, no.
Who has it there?
A bunch of nerds that are playing X-Wing, and while they're playing, giving that off to people.
I think if this is your option where you're playing it like this on the go, it's great.
But if
you have the ability to have a different controller, then that would be my preferred way of playing it. I mean, you can stand it up. I'm standing it up right now.
But I get it from the use case there is on an airplane.
Yep. Which I am going on vacation, so I may actually play it that way.
I like the idea in theory of the two Joy-Cons not being attached, because if you can wrap your mind around it, you could play with your hands or arms in any position you want to.
You could just be down at
those. It's super hard for me to do that, though. So even if I don't have the actual controller dock thing is called, I'm still holding them like this. I can't get my brain to not do that.
Yeah.
I feel like where the triggers are makes my fingers sore.
Yeah, I think my one big issue with this, besides the fact that these buttons seem sort of small, is especially with these trigger buttons, the L and the trigger are really, really small.
Yep. That's, Pro controller seems fine, though.
Yeah, the Pro controller is great.
Yep.
I even, as a as a first go on something like this, I still am impressed by what they've been able to accomplish.
Sure, it's a cool idea.
I mean, the fact that the system is this big is amazing. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's nothing, you know, it's a big fat Fablik phone essentially. And
how does it compare technologically speaking to like the PS4 and the Xbox?
It's not as good.
Yeah.
And that
is it good enough though?
Well, so far, I mean, if you take Zelda as your game,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that experience is as good as any game experiences you're going to find out there. I think that the proof
yeah, but
will
like,
be...
Try to compare that to like Horizon Zero Dawn, which just came out on PS4.
Yeah, that's another game I want to get. But yeah, I don't know because we just have this Zelda game that's essentially was made for the Wii U, and now they ported it over. It's essentially a port.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the future holds. I mean, even with, you know, the Nintendo games that are coming in the future, which we're talking about Splatoon, we're talking about Mario Kart.
New games that are coming.
But I mean, you know, that Mario Kart is essentially the Wii U game all tricked out.
So is Splatoon.
And Splatoon is they're calling it Splatoon 2. It's a sequel, but really, how much is it pushing it? So, and then you've got the Mario game coming out, mm-hmm. which I think maybe that will be your first test. Again, though, that's sort of a cartoony game. It's not showing.
Right. But I mean, everything on the Nintendo platforms might be. I mean, one of the good things is they're using standardized hardware for the first time ever. It's not a PowerPC architecture. It's based on Tegra, one of the new Tegra lines. So what you've already started to see with the eShop is a lot of indie games that are available on Steam showing up.
Yeah. Easy ports.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Huh. They're all $10 more than they are on Steam.
Yeah.
and I don't know. Maybe that's just because there's
not... because Nintendo takes
Nintendo
it.
Probably takes that $10.
My guess is it's because of Nintendo. Hopefully they can stop doing that at some point because...
That's like why if you buy your YouTube Red through the iOS app, it costs $12.99 a month instead of $10 mm-hmm. because Apple takes their cut.
Right. So maybe that's it. You know, it'd be nice if Nintendo had something successful after what the Wii U was.
Yeah, I think that we will have to wait and see what the long-term sales are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that, you know, at least in Audrey's, my daughter's circle of friends, a lot of the kids are excited about this concept. But, I mean, it's also advertised on television. How it captures the imagination of everybody,
like,
I don't know.
Here's the thing. The 3DS, you can drop that thing, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's pretty sturdy.
I can't imagine that's the same for this.
You be very careful.
Like, how can you just say, all right, my 8 and 12-year-old kids, here's your two $300 Nintendo platforms.
That's why why the 3DS isn't going away.
Yeah.
I think that's fine if you have two revenue streams.
You haven't scratched yours or anything?
I haven't. I'm very careful.
You've seen all the people freaking out about
that? Yep, you put it in the dock carefully because the dock can scratch, which is crazy.
That seems like bad design.
Again, I mean, there will be... Nintendo is, if anything, they are known for polishing the turd, even though this is not a turd, but polishing the original and then mm-hmm. selling it as something that's better and greater. But yep. I'm an adult and I can be careful. So there we go. So, yeah, end of the story... I like it. I think Zelda is going to keep me busy for a long time, and that's a really impressive launch game.
Question for you.
I wish there was more.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what anybody says, this is the worst launch lineup of any Nintendo system, period.
Yeah.
Because there literally is only one game to get, and it doesn't even showcase half of what makes the Switch interesting.
Yeah.
They're just very lucky that it's an extremely good game and a beloved game.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would be in big trouble.
How many Wii U games do you own that you still have not played?
Just one.
Oh, okay. So you're.
I actually have Wii games that I haven't actually played. So,
I mean, wow. I guess my question or point is, you currently have four platforms.
Yeah, and I would have gotten rid of the Wii U if my daughter wouldn't have asked me to keep it. So that would have gone the way of the dodo.
Okay. So maybe in time.
Once Splatoon and Mario Kart come, then I probably will get rid of it. Don't need it.
Yeah.
Don't need it. So there we go.
Nintendo
Switch.
Here.
I know. it's amazing that's the life I lead. Charmed life, guys.
That's what happens when you get to middle age and you've lived a professional life. You suddenly can buy just stuff.
Yeah, and not worry about it too much.
For now.
That's the foreboding truth.
Dun dun.
From the lips of babe. From the mouth of babes. So let's wrap up this fantastic nerd roundtable.
No parting words?
No parting words, Jared. I just think we'll let the bit speak for itself.
Okay. Why? I have a question, though. This is a follow-up. Why did you buy it instead of buying it on the Wii U, Zelda? I mean, if Zelda's the only reason to buy it right now, why didn't you
because
have a Wii U?
Because I am dumb.
Oh, okay. Next. I mean, I wasn't asking. Yeah. Okay, you don't have to say that.
No, because I like to get the new systems. I've always done that.
Right. Okay.
I'm always
Maybe it'll be cheaper when, you know, more games come
out. Yeah, I mean, I could have waited a year, or I could have waited a year on Xbox stuff and gotten cheaper games.
Okay.
You know? I'm an early adopter. Kiss him. All right. More after this.
Look out for the laser!
It's the scope.
Under the scope.
We're back with Under the Scope.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, you know what that means?
I do.
Coming soon.
My favorite, Tony, is Look Out for the Laser, I think.
That is a good one.
All right. We got music coming out this week, the week of March 19th. Art of Anarchy, Betty Who, Clavs. Any time you guys want to chime in here.
I don't recognize any of these
Creeper,
bands.
Desperate Journalist, James Blunt. You know him.
That's the only guy I know.
The Jesus and Mary Chain.
Okay, know them.
That album is getting really good reviews.
Rave reviews?
It's like 88% on Metacritic.
That's pretty good.
Lee Carnegie, let's see, Mount Erie, Ray Lynn, Steve Hackett, Take That, Trey Songz, and Marnie. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, guys.
Trey Songz?
Yeah.
I recognize that.
Movies coming out this week in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Power Rangers.
That one's not a miss, huh?
There's another miss that's,
okay.
I think a bigger miss.
That Power Rangers is going to be a flop.
You think so?
Yes.
Probably. I just like Elizabeth Banks. Why would she be in a bad movie?
I don't know.
She's playing a character called Rita Repulsa.
That's awesome. Maybe like she, I don't know how old she is. Say maybe she liked that movie, that show growing up.
I like the commercials like, only because they use the Kanye song Power. I like that song.
Life, the alien-ish movie.
Okay.
But not Alien.
Yeah, it's Alien, not Alien. That's what it should be called.
We went to go see King Kong, and the two trailers in a row were Alien Covenant and then Life. And I was like, they should spread these out by at least one trailer.
This is really tight grouping.
Yeah. What did you think of Kong?
I liked it a lot.
Really?
Really?
Four-star movie?
Three and something. I mean, it's a monster movie, but...
Yeah, but there's a lot of downtime in the middle where it's like, what?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
None of those characters were important at all.
Oh, I like Brie Larson a million.
Yeah,
like,
but all she was there to do is wear a tight tank top.
Yeah, and then she shot that flare gun. looked cool doing
it. Did it burn her tank top off or what?
No.
Okay, calm down.
I like that. I don't know. I like that movie a lot.
You're crazy.
Kong rips that lizard thing's endocrine system out.
Anything with the monsters was great.
Yeah.
All the connective stuff was terrible.
John Goodman was terrible?
Oh,
he was very underused.
John C. Reilly was amazing.
The comedy was misplaced in that
I
film.
My goodness. This should have been the show.
I really liked it a lot.
Nerd Roundtable, two monsters, two titans of podcasting fighting.
When those pterodactyl birds stole that guy and then chopped his arm off.
That was fine. The monster stuff was fine. I told you the monster stuff was
fine. That wasn't really a monster thing.
Were walking through the graveyard bone thing?
No, that was while they were on the boat to that.
When they were blasting their music after already realizing that making too much noise was probably a bad idea?
And none of it made sense.
I can't. It's like ping pong.
This is my problem.
I'm not defending the character choices. I mean, I think it was meant to not be serious.
I know, but it was laughably bad in some of those decisions they made.
I liked it a lot.
You're wrong.
Mecha Jared versus... Who are you, Adam?
I don't know. Adam Ra.
Adam Ra versus Mecha Jared.
Nice.
Home video. This is crazy. Assassin's Creed is already out.
Yep.
How long ago was that movie? Maybe
Christmas.
I guess that's the right amount of time.
It came and went.
Yeah. it made money. Internationally, it made a lot of money. But,
okay.
Let's see. Being
poor
there,
taste.
Fire at sea. They have poor taste. You hear that? In dubious battle.
The internationals.
The internationals.
Not the people that voted for Donald Trump. Excellent taste.
No, they're voting for their own fascists.
It's true. A Kind of Murder, Lion, Live by Night, or Live by Night. No matter what, bad movie. Miss Sloan, RoboCop 2 and 3, finally getting Blu-ray releases.
Jared's been waiting.
Sing.
I don't think I ever saw 3.
Tower, and The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Hmm. Finally, video games. We've got Tukiden 2, Troll and I, Dreamfall Chapters, Mario Sports Superstars for the 3DS.
Yeah, not a Switch in here anywhere.
And a big game release this week.
Ooh.
Mass Effect Andromeda.
People are talking about it, aren't they?
I hope it's good.
Are you picking that up?
I have that pre-ordered. That is the first game I have pre-ordered in over a year.
Many moons.
Yeah. So
well, I'm excited for your results.
Mandy's going to be out of town for a whole weekend, so I might just
beat the hell out of that game.
Watch Legion, do I have to, and play that game.
Wow.
You're not obligated.
It's not a bad. It's not like we're asking you to watch Fuller House, dude.
It's just that's a lot of time. 9 hours of a show that might not be good.
But it's not really hours.
It's good.
All right.
It's good.
But Jared, wait, there's more. Hit it or miss it.
Lost that hour. I want it back.
Hit it or miss it.
Miss of the week. He's still,
look out.
He's still reeling.
Feeling it.
He's
still reeling. Feeling it.
Jared, this time it is your selection for Hit It or Miss It.
It is.
And please tell us that you're doing a retroactive miss on Power Rangers.
You would think that would be the big miss, but there is another miss coming out this week.
There's two big cuts.
This
two
one,
big misses.
This is the big screen theatrical adaptation of everyone's favorite 70s cop show. I'm talking about Chips.
Oh, yeah.
Chips.
That movie's going to be a bomber.
This movie is going to bomb hard. I didn't even know it was happening until I started seeing commercials for it. Now, this stars Michael Pena as Ponch.
Poncherella.
And
Poncherello.
Dax Shepard as John.
Why can't Dax Shepard be in good things? I like him so much.
I like him too. But
I like Michael Pena, but everything I've seen about this film just makes it look like
terrible.
It's just a terrible, just a crass comedic take on your beloved cop show.
And the show's the movie's probably 10 years too old, by the way.
Yeah. This should have happened back when you were adapting Dukes of Hazzard and stuff like that.
That's Starsky when and Hutch.
Yeah. This is just
the
seems
A-team.
Like
team.
This just seems like, why did we make this movie?
Someone had the license and they were was about to expire.
Pretty much,
gotta turn.
That's what
out.
It feels like. So, Chips, if you don't know, is sort of slang for the California Highway Patrol. It's California motorcycle cops that fight crime.
Yep.
Yeah, I always thought it was a weird concept as a kid, but you know, sometimes the show worked. It was the 70s. This just seems like a really, really terrible movie.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, there's boner jokes in the commercials, for crying out loud. Yoga pants and boners. Ugh. Miss it.
Under the scope. We disagree on King Kong, but not on this.
Chips, you're on
Thank
the
you.
Same page.
Thank
California
you.
Highway Patrol. Jared.
Yep.
Pull us to the finish line.
Alrighty, folks. Hey, if you'd like to tell us what you felt about Kong Skull Island, are you an Adam or are you a Jared on this one? Or are you an Adam Ra or a Mecha Jared? Shane likes to position it.
King Jared.
There you go. Please let us know. Comments at thescopeshow.com or call our voicemail line. Maybe I'll have figured out how to download your message by now. The voicemail line is 612-21-SCOPE.
What is happening?
Scope.
Jared's having a stroke.
I'm stroking out. 612-217-2673.
Twan?
Wow.
Jared, you've got to be in
your... We've got to do another show still.
You've got to be in your A-game for the next show.
I know.
A lot of demands on this next show.
You can also hit us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Those links are at our website, thescopeshow.com. Or if you'd like to watch the show, we're back on YouTube now. Finally figured out a recording system. Hopefully it worked. Maybe not. Maybe you're listening to this and you go to the YouTubes and it's still... The last episode was 4 months ago. Sorry about that, but hopefully it's figured out. YouTube.com/TheScopeShow. If you'd like to support the show, you heard earlier about Patreon. That is Patreon.com/TheScopeShow. You can support us directly. You pledge as little as $1 an episode. There are some perks up there for higher pledge levels.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. They're not running out.
A Blu-ray copy of the new King Kong movie from Adam.
Yes.
Because he loved it so much. He's giving it to all his friends and family.
That's patreon.com/thescopeshow. Or, if you're shopping at Amazon, thescopeshow.com/Amazon. Click on that affiliate link thing. Do your shopping. We get paid. Simple as that. Back to you, Shane.
Perfect. Terrific read through, Jared.
Terrible read through.
He didn't even...
Twan.
Twan.
612 Twan Scope. Wake up, Adam. Get
all
that
right.
eye discharge
Adam,
out of your eyes.
We need some energy. We need high energy. So guess what, guys? The show is over. So I want to thank
energy.
Jared. I want to thank Adam. I want to thank our listeners. I want to thank our watchers, our supporters. Another episode of The Scope coming up next week. So until then, bye for now.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, ciao! Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.